This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, welcome to Series 2 of the ultimate behind-the-scenes television podcast, Soap from the Box. I'm Lee Salisbury and I directed all of the biggest soaps for over 10 years. On this podcast, you will find the insider info plus celebrity chat as I talk to television's biggest stars. Remember, there are two episodes every single Sunday this season of Soap from the Box, so make sure you listen to the other one after you listen to this one, which means I need to stop talking and let you listen to this one. Okay, very excited for today's guest. She was a loan shark called Linda in Ackley Bridge. She was Yvonne Carib in Shameless for 6 years and known to many of you guys as Ali Spencer in Emmerdale, appearing first in October 2011 and leaving in 2015. Please welcome the brilliantly funny and talented Kelly Hollis. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Lola. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That was a very nice intro. Thank you very much.
I know, I'm trying to get, you know what, I've said this a couple of times, I listen to Desert Island Discs and they're so clever, their intros, and I can't really write clever ones, you know, they're quite meaningful. I'm just like, I'm trying my best, but...
No, that was lovely, thank you very much, I appreciate that.
It reminds everyone of, because I mean, we'll get to Shameless actually, because it's one of my favourite shows ever, so we'll talk about that in detail as well. But what I tend to do on this is talk about the show you're known for to our fans, which is obviously Soap. And then we'll talk about all the other stuff you've done and you. But I have to say first, I didn't realise it's not the first time you were in Emmerdale playing Ali. You were in it in 2002.
I was, yes, back in the day with...
Can you remember who you played?
Yeah, I played, hang on, she says now, I think it was a character called Mel.
Yeah.
Now you've just put me on the spot.
I've
yeah,
got Mel. Melanie Say, is that right? Melanie
there Say. We go, that's correct, yeah. And I actually worked with the beautiful Leah Bracknell.
Which, again, is quite weird because I'm now living in her old house.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, so me and...
It was so sad how unwell she was.
I know, I'm obviously remembering her because she was amazing and such a lovely girl and such... Oh, my God, life ended far too short for her, but...
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, the story I read was you, Zoe Tate, who Leah mentioned, who Leah played, was sectioned, and you struck up a friendship with a fellow patient for 8 episodes. See, not because a lot of people that I'm interviewing on this have had an appearance in a soap beforehand, but you actually had, that's quite a, I mean, I know it was only 8 episodes, but still quite a meaty part, actually.
Yeah, it was, and I was literally booked in just to do the hospital stuff, but obviously, no, I was just buzzing to do that as well. But then, if I remember rightly, a couple of months after we did, I think I did a couple of other episodes later, where I came to the village, but I don't know if they had any intentions of me staying or carrying on that storyline, because there was a gap between the stuff we did at the hospital and me coming to the village. But I think it probably didn't help because when I came back for the second little bit, I'd actually fallen pregnant. Now, do you want some gossip? Do you want some gossip?
Oh, go away. Of course, we love gossip.
My son is going to kill me for disclosing this. But I actually conceived my son while I was filming at Emmerdale.
Oh. I mean, not as you were actually filming, obviously.
No, not on set, but actually in my Winnebago trailer thing.
Oh, wow. Well, so Emmerdale holds a lot of memories for Kelly Hollis then.
My son is going to kill me for saying that. So that is true.
It's nice for him to know his history. I mean, it wasn't...
Of course, yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot worse places.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. So at least we've got a bit of kudos, and obviously Emmerdale. And then everybody used to joke saying, if you have a girl, you've got to call her Emma. If you have a boy, you've got to call her Dale.
I remember there was always a seat in the old Emmerdale building. Did you remember the old Emmerdale building before we moved kind of around the road?
Yes, down at the bottom.
There was one seat in the office where, you know, like any PA or scripts advisor sat it in, like the year following would become pregnant. So this seat became kind of like a hallowed ground for people to sit in. I remember sitting it one day and I'm like, you can't sit there. I was like, I think I'm safe.
Okay, right. I'm going to change my story. I actually sat in that chair then. I'm changing
you
the story.
You might have sat in that chair. You might have come up to get spritz or something and sat in that chair.
But, yeah, maybe.
I mean, do you remember, obviously you'd done big shows beforehand, but I always think, because Kat Tilsley had a little part in, because Kat Tilsley was actually quite a big part in Emmerdale before Corrie. She was like a prison officer that slept with James Sutton's character when he was in it. But
oh, wow, gosh, yeah.
When you're in a show like that for knowing for 8 episodes, there must be a feeling of like, oh my God, I'd love to be one of the main cast.
Of course, it's all, especially because that was quite early on in my career. But again, it's just one of those. I've just always had the mentality that, you know, any job's a great job and just thankful for it at the time. And obviously, you know, soap's a different world now, I think, compared to even back then. And obviously to work with Leah and everything and just to be a part of it, it was such a buzz because I never intended on being an actress. So I sort of fell into it. So then one day to just and have a job on Emmerdale, I was just happy for that. But then that did sort of come into play later on when I came back to audition for Ali. They were like, I'm not going to get this because I'd done that little stint before.
Oh, I think
I thought that was going to go against me.
I mean, there's people that have got jobs in soaps that they've almost played quite even a bigger character, do you know what I mean? And they're quite well known for
it. Oh, wow. Okay.
And also swapping soaps, I think. I think the worst is if you swap a soap, like Michelle Collins having such a hard time on Corrie, because almost like they wanted her to fail, do you know what I mean? Because she was known to us in EastEnders. It's kind of, I think that's so horrible when that happens. But anyway.
That crossover there must have been very tricky for her, definitely, yeah.
But so I always start with a memorable moment, actually. And I think my most memorable moment with you is not on set, it was offset. And when one night when we, do you remember we all went to do karaoke in Leeds and no one could get me off the microphone?
Yeah, who doesn't love a bit of karaoke?
Oh, we love it. Do you remember there's a place you can hire a room? And I think, you know, when we used to go out as a crowd in Emmerdale. But anyway, so let's get to Ali Spencer. So she arrived as the sister of Rachel Breckle, who is mother. You were the mother of Sean and Amelia Spencer, of which Dan is the dad. Dan is obviously still in the show. And you were the wife of Ruby Haswell. So obviously a huge thing because lesbian characters coming into the show, which... I mean, there's a lot of gay men characters in soaps now. It's still quite rare to see lesbian characters actually bizarrely in soap, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest, when we first got the job at Emmerdale, I'll be truthful, I've not seen soaps for quite a while.
Years, yeah.
I was actually quite shocked that it was still a big deal, if you know what I mean. It was like, come on, how long have we been doing this now, you know? And Alicia Ayo, who plays Ruby. And if you want another little secret, is that my audition, basically, when I got there, Alicia was in another pair. So it looked to me like they sort of had four pairs. And I thought, in their head, they're already thinking it's either them two, or them two. And so as I've walked down the corridor with the girl I was auditioning with, she sort of said, oh, can I just ask, are you gay? And I said, no, I'm not. No, I said, are you? She went, no. She went, how do you want to do this? And I told her, I said, listen, love, I want this job. I said, you're getting it, but we're getting there. I said, I'm going to snug your face off. And it was just like, you know, but it's just one of them. And like you say, you know, it's still quite uncommon. I mean, I know this, you know, the lesbian thing's been played out a few times, but not enough. You know, like you say, there's lots of gay men characters. I don't know why they seem to still be not shying away a little bit. Like, I think
I think the main problem with it, and in a way it's hard to get over this, is that it's always an issue still, you know, like even if they have gay people in it, it's a big issue or it's a big storyline, it's not just normal, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
just have a gay couple who are having a normal life, you know.
To say that as a gay man, you know, still life isn't quite normal, and of course you do still, you're not part of the norm, I suppose, so it is quite reflective, I suppose, of that. But I mean if you watched It's a Sin.
Oh no, it's on the list though. I've been waiting for the last episode to be done, and then
incredible to remember what, you know, actually how far we've come. Do you know what I mean? Because it's 30 years ago, it's incredible. But so, I mean, I think it's like Aaron, who Danny Miller, and obviously Ryan, who played both of them were straight. So I don't think that's ever, because as an actor, I just think even as a straight couple, you've got to kiss someone that is not your partner or not. Yeah, so it doesn't matter who you're kissing, you're kissing someone you wouldn't normally be.
No, exactly. And I'll be honest, hands up, you know, Alicia Ayo is one of the best kisses I've ever had.
Yes, and who wouldn't want to kiss Alicia? It's, I know.
She always tasted very minty.
And, well, I said this on, actually, you watch every actor before kissing scenes and they always put them into them. I mean, they're always, you can tell people are so worried. But actually, just quickly going back to what you said, because it's quite interesting. You said that, like, oh, you were paired up. And actually saying to you, like, and people out there, as a director, actually, you are constantly in your head. I suppose it's like putting together a boy band. So it's, you hardly ever cast the two that are together because you're always going, oh, you know what, she'll be really good with that person or whatever. So it's quite easy to see that.
Yeah, and then bless her, the girl I actually auditioned with, especially for the screen test, didn't get the job. And in the end, Alicia did and then I did. So they paired us up separately without a screen test, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what we did. Because I did the Wild Family and I remember that was the hardest because it was, we got Amanda Donahoe and Maxwell and then it was a daughter and son. But it was so hard picking because it's so hard to get a family right. And really, the Spencers did work so well, didn't they? I think they came in.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those families that was really easy to work with. You guys were fun, but also you had brilliant kids. I mean, the kids were brilliant.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know how long it is since you've seen Luke or Daisy.
I'm sure they look like they're probably 30 now, aren't they?
God, that it feels like the 30. Because when I see pictures, I mean, I saw Daisy not long ago, obviously, because I was at...
How old is she now?
She's the same age as my son, so she'll be coming up to 18 this year.
Wow, oh my God.
The day I met her, she had no front teeth, for God's sake.
I remember thinking about her like that, yeah. It's like lovely Joe Warren Plant, you know, who's on Dancing Ice now. It's like, when did
Of course. I mean, and I caught Emma Dale the other night, and there was a scene with Charity, and I was like, who's that lad there? And then I realised it was Noah.
Yeah.
And the original lad from with the beautiful blonde curly hair. It's like, oh, mate, just makes me feel so old. It's not even funny.
I know. Oh, God, it's not funny, is it? But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I love it when kids actually, I mean, obviously those two have left, but it's amazing when you see some talent and it does, because obviously Charlie Webb that happened to, and Sammy Winwood, who were there from an early age. And obviously Dan.
But you were right in what you're saying about the kids and everything. Sorry to interrupt you then, babe.
Oh, no.
But yeah, the family dynamics worked instantly, and I can't even imagine being cast in or a director to the point where you've got to pick a family. We first met, and I fell in love with Daisy, I fell in love with Luke, I fell in love with Alicia, and it was instant, you know. And I treat Daisy and I treat Luke like they were my own kids.
Yeah, you did.
I would expect.
When people say, what does a director do? I always say part of the job when you're casting is it is a skill, because it's like, I suppose, like running a date agency in a way. You are looking for who's going to gel. And I think I've got that skill of going. So part of auditions for people listening will be, yeah, loads of people come for auditions. They're brilliant. But you're kind of seeing who's going to work in the family of Emmerdale if you're on Emmerdale. Yeah. I mean, there is a vibe and you're just thinking, right, who's going to be able to hit the ground running? Who's going to be like this? Who's going to get on with? And how you can see that person then working with so many different characters, you know? So,
yeah.
Luckily, often you get it right. Thank God for that family as well. But what I loved about you must have loved this as well, because to explain to listeners as well, the village obviously really is a shell when you film all the outside scenes and the studio has got all the interiors. But you guys moved into Brook Cottage, which is one of the only, it's Brook Cottage, isn't it called?
It was, yeah.
Brook Cottage, which is one of the only sets that was in the village, in the house. So you were basically in the village the entire time.
Yeah, I think there was the vet. Paddy and Thingy and the vets, I think their interior was up there.
Yeah, theirs was
B&B. And I think I think that was it, yeah.
Oh, well, I remember as a secret to everyone, actually, when Edna was alive. So Edna's house used to actually be in, I think it's Aaron's house now, Mill Cottage down the bottom. So you used to go in there and that used to have the interior of Edna's house in, bizarrely.
Oh, wow.
I know, which we all always felt sorry for Shelley, because she's the oldest cast member. They put her in the freezing cold, because it is always cold in that village, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is a beautiful village, though. Oh, my God. And I think one of my first filming days up there, they'd taken us down to London the night before, stupidly, some kind of do. And, I warned them. I said, I have a rule. I don't play out on school nights. It's as simple as that. That's for a good reason.
Yeah.
And it was some stoke thing that they took us to. And I almost missed my train back in the morning. This is down to Danny Miller, by the way. I told Danny, if you're listening, you know I blame you, mate, because I told you. But then I got to work at the village, finally got the train and got back to Leeds in time. And I actually threw up in the village. I said, God, look, I know this is a fake village, but is that bush real enough for me to go throw up in? And somebody just went, yeah, and that was
Kristen,
that.
Our village in, like, no one else has done that. I'm sure people have done that. I'm sure people
I don't know, you know, because I did ask makeup, and makeup said they didn't think anybody had been sick up there, so I don't know.
Well, they probably people wouldn't announce it, though. I mean, it's probably only you that would announce it, Kelly.
Yeah, there's only me who'd admit to it. Yeah. I'm like an idiot.
So anyway,
what
I normally do is do a little quiz, which is not really, but just to get us through the storylines, because I found at the beginning of the podcast, when I was just going through all the storylines, it was taking so long, so I just picked the highlights. So, oh, you know what? I've just really messed up my first question, which was which house Ali and Ruby move into.
Well planned.
Actually, what I was going to ask about the cottage, because I always think what's funny with actors coming in is, we've obviously got, the soap's got amazing set design teams, so they will plan the new houses and stuff. And I obviously at that point, there's no talking to the actors who are going to play the role. So did you remember the moment you walked in, and kind of do you gauge then a bit more what the character's like because of how they decorated it?
Yeah, well, it was weird because the first scene I did was with Rachel, and the house was empty because it was us viewing the house. But then when we got there the next time, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's always that little bit, especially when you're playing the type of characters that we were playing.
Yeah.
It was like, I didn't expect the rich, you know, I didn't expect Home Farm. But I loved it, and it did. And like you said, the set design team are so great up there. And everything just worked amazing. In fact, if anything, it was probably nicer than what I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, it wasn't. I used to really like that house. I hated the layout because I thought I'd hate to live here. You know, that kitchen. Well, it's bloody hard to film in as well. That wall that separated the kitchen and the bloody
house. Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not one of the most thought out, as in structure-wise, I suppose, is it? Yeah,
like, and there are a lot of people living there. I mean, I always love the magic of soap, that a million, like the pub, a million people live there, and there's probably only two bedrooms. So actually, yeah. Diane and Chaz are living, you know, sharing a double bed at night.
I think the one nice thing about Brook Cottage, actually, I know you said about the little galley kitchen behind with the wall, but there was the entrance in and the entrance out at the other side. And that was always a nice little flow, which I don't think you get in many of the sets on Emmerdale, the interiors.
I mean, that house, if you lived in a village that actually was like Emmerdale with what goes on in that house, you would have a view of everything. So you would see the murders, the cheating.
everything.
You had a view to everything. Okay, next question. Who was not pleased Declan allowed them to move in and also refused late payment from them?
Nicola.
Yes. Who is one of my best friends. And
I love her. I absolutely love her.
And when you joined, you said, I mean, and you're not saying this like no one else has, most people don't. I mean, I'd not watched Emmerdale before I joined and then watched it lots because it wasn't a safe watch, but is it still quite, you know, once you've got the job and you probably watch it a bit, is it always quite nerve-wracking going into a job where you know you're with these established characters that have been there for years?
Oh, of course. I mean, talking about beautiful Shirley.
Oh, I love Shirley.
Yeah. I remember my first scenes I did in the studio was in the Woolpack. But I do remember sat in the Woolpack this day, one of the first scenes. I'm sat on the end of the bar and Shirley's Edna sat next to me. And I just completely zoned out.
Right,
and it was literally like, where am I? What is going on? What's my name?
Yeah.
And I just completely, and I think it was even like maybe the first take and me just not, no words coming out.
Well,
it's really nerve-wracking.
You said that as well. This is added to the list. The biggest find of this series, and everyone listening will know this once they've listened to all the episodes, is everyone says almost one of their first scenes was in the pub or some event. And you just think, okay, so there's an initiation going on by the soaps here to really
get
the best.
If she can get through today, we'll keep
her. Yeah, because it's that's a really throwing in at a deep end. Because as I always say to actors, and as directors as a team, new people join. And because it does become such a family, you almost are going, right, well, are we going to like them?
Yeah. You work so fast on there as well, and you've got to hit that ground running. There's you know, you've got to just, like say, just get in with both feet. But you're right as well. There is also that, again, from being a viewer of you know, soaps over the years, everybody can't wait for a new family. And straight away, you know, everybody goes, oh, no, I don't like them.
Oh, of course.
And then within about, and that just goes with it. I don't take anything like that personally. That's the, you know, the free reign of the soap viewers to be able to do that.
In something like Emmerdale, they hate the real kind of commoner family and they hate the really posh family at first. Also, you were playing lesbians and also you came in as a new family. So it's kind of like you had, the Emmerdale viewers.
The odds were stacked a bit. Yeah,
the odds were stacked. But obviously then people fell in love with you guys. Okay, so next question. Who slaps Megan when she tries to force Ali and the family out of Brook Cottage?
Ooh, Rachel, I think.
Yes, Rachel, yeah. And so that I was going to say, what you said already, you worked so closely as a family unit. Interesting. So obviously you left before Alicia and stuff, and I don't know, Gemma left before you guys, did she?
Yeah, it sort of got a bit complicated because then, Rachel left first. Then she came back. And then we did our leaving stuff, which was Ruby with the accident, but we were on different blocks. So it was, even though I left afterwards, because I left after the Ruby's funeral.
And I suppose it's like the Kings, actually, because Nick Miles said, you know, like he was getting used to a King boy being killed off every Christmas. And he was like, I need to change my character, otherwise I'm going to get killed. The minute you found out, like, say, Gemma was leaving, do you instantly go, oh, God, the writing's on the wall for us? Do you know what I mean? That one of the family's gone.
I suppose you do anyway. But I think if your sensible mindset in any acting job is you always have to be aware, you know, this is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
And it's never anything necessarily personal. It's not because you rubbish at your job or anything like that. You know, it's just storyline's got to keep moving. Characters have got to keep turning. It's just the way of the world, even more so in a soap. So me personally, I wasn't then thinking, oh my God, they're going to write me out now. You know,
In my mind, it is
what will be. And that's just how it goes. I had sort of thought in my head, realistically, you know, do I want to be there for 10, 15, 20 years anyway? And sometimes at the time when they say, right, well, you know, we're writing your character out or whatever, you know, and I'm sure a lot of other actors are absolutely devastated. But then when it happens, you just think, you know, that was the best thing, because I could be, and I'm not speaking for anybody or nobody who's worked there a long time has ever said this to me, but, you know, and I'm sure people who are there a long time think, oh, I wish I'd gone 10 years ago. Am I missing out on this? So there's no rhyme or reason to it. You know, if you stay, you stay. If you don't, you don't. That's just the way
it is. Oh, yeah. And I think that you made a massive impact, which is great. Do you know what I mean? I think so. It's incredible. And so the weirdest thing, which I didn't know, was that you were actually killed off screen years after you left in 2018 in a car accident. Now,
apparently so, yeah.
That must be bloody. And I think that's always a waste, you see, because you never know who you can bring back. And I think, why kill characters off screen? It's really bizarre to me that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, they were so lovely. And from what I can gather from other people I spoke to, is that this isn't always the case. But they actually rung me to tell me they were doing that.
I was going to say, did you hear? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I got a lovely phone call and a message.
You're going to die.
Yeah, he's just thinking, you know, we're going to kill you off. But do you know what? I think there's always that little bit of you, like you just said, you know, never say never. And all these actors who say, oh, yes, I'd never go back. You know, you've always got to keep moving forward. But, you know, Dan's still there. Amelia's still there. To me personally, it was like, oh, I wish you hadn't. But in another sense, I was almost glad they did to some respect.
And to be honest, it's
obviously... But then it's done then.
Kathy Bill came back to EastEnders and she was, you know...
Well, murdered. I want to say I could be Ali's evil twin, but I think Ali was probably the evil one.
Well, you could be Ali, though. That's what I mean. It could be all fake, that, anyway. You know.
Yeah, could. Well, this is it. This is what I love about Soapland. Dan can wake up in the shower tomorrow and it'll have all been a dream.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my funniest thing was when I was young watching Home and Away, and I think Australian soaps were amazing for this. So if someone was ill, they just used to replace them with someone else. So I remember Pippa was ill. One episode that they replaced Pippa, everyone who mentioned her or spoke to her called her Pippa. And I was like, why are they calling her Pippa? That's not Pippa.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's Pippa now.
And didn't the old man disappear for years? Madge and Harold. He came back after.
He came back.
Been working in a bookshop with amnesia or something. It was brilliant.
Yeah, Lucy Robinson changed characters about 400 times. And then the biggest one, obviously, is Kate Ford, who's now the amazing Tracy Barlow. She kind of went upstairs as a six-year-old and came down 2 years later and she was like 30.
Like you say, you never know. And that is the beauty of soap. And I think there's that artistic license for anything to happen. So.
And it must have been a bummer day because you were she was feisty. She really stuck at like family were everything, which I suppose is, you know, in reality, that's you as well, as in that every family is everything. But she didn't mind what she said. So you had lots of confrontations. It must be fun playing a character like that.
It's brilliant. I mean, a lot of people do say to me, oh, you sort of get typecast a little bit, but I have got no problem with that at all. Not at all. I think I'm sure people like Robert De Niro and people like that, I don't think they're bothered about being typecast either, you know.
No.
You don't need counselling when you've got a job like that, you know.
No, I always say, I've said this.
Get all your stress out at work and you don't.
Yeah, and you don't get blamed for anything.
Exactly.
It's amazing. And I always think, you know what, as an actor, I think you know whether you're the leading lady from a young age or the comedy friend or, do you know what I mean? And, or a character actor. And I think the best actors know that and don't try to be, you know.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm good with all of that.
So let's talk about you. So the real you. So you were obviously you're a Yorkshire lass. You were born Kelly Michelle Hollis.
That's me.
Yeah. So now you were born Kelly with a Y, I've seen.
My dad and my mum are not very happy. I didn't change it for work or anything. It was just like a teenager thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, you're way ahead of the game because now kids are taking letters out of their name and stuff to be better on social media.
Yeah.
So you're like way ahead of the game there.
So I sort of did it when I was a teenager and I just changed the Y to an I and then it just over the years, it's just stuck. And
oh, I thought it might be, you know, that weird thing with spot with equity years ago where if someone had exactly the same name, you had to change it.
No, I think there's a porn star with my name. But
oh, wow.
Don't Google. Whatever you do, don't Google me.
So let's go to Shameless, because obviously loads of people, including me, especially my age, will remember you from that, Yvonne. I mean, you were there from the outset, weren't you? So you were in series seven. And if no one's, I mean, probably the younger viewers wouldn't have watched Shameless. It's definitely one of those box sets you should get. I mean, I can't believe you were it. I mean, one of my favourite actors in the world who I fancied was James McAvoy, who was obviously in it then. But that show was groundbreaking. I mean, when you first read the script, you must have been like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Well, it was weird because I was pregnant, weirdly enough, I was pregnant with my son Jai, who I conceived at Emmerdale.
Yes, yeah.
And I'd actually got a job on a show called No Angels. I don't know if you remember that.
There was in
Leeds. I'd actually sort of were down to the last couple of castings for that. And they'd sort of give me the nod and the wink and everything. And I had to go back for sort of one last workshoppy afternoon to finish pairing all the nurses up. And basically, I went into labour early. So they said, if she don't come today, she don't get the job. Luckily, 2 weeks later, my agent phoned and just said, look, we've got you an audition for this new thing called Shameless. I don't really know much more about it. So can you imagine, if I'd have got the job, if Jai hadn't come early,
wow,
I'd have already got the job on No Angels. And I wouldn't have even been seen for it.
Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. So this is one thing that always stuck in my mind. So even now, if I audition for something and I don't get it, I just think you never know what door number two is going
to
bring.
You were in this series, though, you're one of those people that's been lucky enough to be in a series that because obviously no one ever knows on series one what it's going to do. How was it watching that great? It must, like, because I always think you go back for season, I mean, it really took off in series one, didn't it? What's it like being on that journey? It must be incredible when something's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
It was scary, really, to be honest, because I think, because like you asked about the script, when you read the script, you just think, no way. I mean, there's a lot more stuff like that on TV now, but like I said, it was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
It was so brave without, and I, after speaking with Paul Abbott, and I'm sure he's said it in interviews before, he always wanted to write Shameless, but he didn't want it to be, you know, Alan Bennett, Grimm Up North, you know, Ken Loach. He didn't want it to have that doom and gloom feel to it. But so then when I read the first script, I think most people I ever speak to, one of the things that they always say to me is, I know somebody who's like Frank. And I remember doing the exact same thing on the way to my audition. I remember ringing my mum, and this is no disrespect to my stepdad, bless him, he passed away not long ago. And I always told him this story because he liked to, you know, he liked a few cans and that. And I rung my mum on the way to the audition and I went, Mum, there's a guy in this script and he's just like our Tommy.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I'll always remember that. And that's not a disrespect. But I think being in it then for the first year, reading the script was one thing. Filming it was another. Seeing what they had all the other characters doing. And I was like, no way. We were all like, no way are they going to put this on TV. This is ridiculous. This is so outrageous. This is just not going to fly. And then I'll be perfectly honest. I said this recently, actually, to somebody I'd done an audition for. And I said, one of the things I actually didn't like about being on Shameless was that I didn't get to sit and watch with everybody else. Yeah, it was so up my street. It was so anything everybody was watching. And in a way, I felt like I was lucky because I was filming the show. But I really, really, with all my heart, wanted to be on the other side of the fence. I wanted to be the ones going, oh, mate, have you seen, did you watch Shameless last night?
But you don't really, because you were part of it, Joey. It's like incredible.
Yeah, no, but that first year especially.
You know, basically, it's a lifestyle that loads of us would go, oh, my God, you know, poor families like that. But what it did is celebrate the fact that people were still happy. You know, like, dramas happen, but it was their way of life and they were really happy with that.
Yeah, just because people have to do certain things to get through life doesn't make them bad people. It's
what you said, interestingly, actually, like what Paul said, is that he didn't want it just to be grim up north. But the fact is, there's loads of communities like that. But what was brilliant about it is it showed that, yeah, they were struggling with money and stuff, but there, people still have fun and people still, it's still a lovely life for people. Do you know what I mean? I know loads of drama in it, but it's like it was...
Well, it showed families who stick together, who love each other, who'll do anything for each other, and they're the bare bones of us as human beings, I think.
I always think, to be honest about it, right, I've always... It's amazing to see your friends doing incredibly well, but also there's always that part of you going, oh, I'm quite jealous. I mean, not that I'm an actor, but... So with James McAvoy, was it a bit like, oh, God...
Do you know what? I can honestly, honestly, honestly say no to that question, because I purposely went to go out of my way, and I have done ever since he left Shameless, was go out of my way to make sure I watched every single thing he was in.
Oh, good.
And do nothing but just be completely buzzing for him.
And is he lovely?
He is lovely. And another quick story time, if you've got time for it.
Oh, yeah.
So when he was in the process of leaving Shameless, there was a little crossover point where he was in New Zealand, I think it was New Zealand, where they filmed Narnia, and then he had to come back to Shameless to finish off his last bits and bats there. Well, my daughter, she was only about 13, I think, at the time. That particular morning, she'd actually done a little drama exam where she played Lucy at the lamppost with Mr. Tumnus, and James was at work that day, so he was so brilliant with her. So Fallon's telling him all about this thing, and she's playing Lucy, and he's saying to her, oh, I'm playing Mr. Tumnus in a film. And then he secretly sent us a load of stuff, signed pictures of him as Mr. Before the film even came out. And obviously said, look, but if you do, don't show anybody. And yes, she's literally, I'm at my daughter's now, she's literally got it upstairs on the bedroom wall.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, he's one of my, whatever that rule is, where you can have five people, if you got the chance, you know, you can choose one of them. He's, he's amazing.
Is he on the list, love?
My favourite story is, one of my funny stories is Jenna Coleman, who's obviously now humongously huge, is...
I've watched her in something last night. What am I watching
her in? She's in The Serpent at the moment, yeah.
Yes. God, she's amazing.
My favourite story, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind me telling this, is she had to do a self-tape for America, and this is really bizarre. It was a part for a Disney film, but they wanted her to read this scene from Good Will Hunting, the bed scene, which was like full of swearing, really bizarre. Like, so she came around and I did it with her, and we were doing it. Obviously, I was off camera, and I was like, "Oh, Jenna, I'm going to have to put on the American accent because it's just not working for you." So yeah, so I've still got the recording of it, which I love. And Paul was like, "Oh my God, you're actually really good." So I was like, "Imagine if I'm like an American, like, sorry, Jenna, who's the person? Who's the person
who got you that job?" Yeah, who helped you get that job?
And also what's weird is you were obviously in the show married to Cash, who was played by Chris Bisson. So everything comes out in circles. Yes. And he was in Emmerdale at the same time. So it's quite weird that, isn't it? It's a small world, basically, isn't it, our job?
Well, this is it with our job. And this is one bit of advice that I always give to the young'uns. It's like, watch your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
You know, always, you know, because trust me, this is a very, very, very small world. And you will always... It'll always come full circle. So you'll always end up working either whether it be crew, directors, runners, who then in 15, 20 years are going to be producers, you know? Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my God. Well, I do think, to be honest, if you're genuinely a nice person, you don't try to be nice, you're just nice. Do you
Oh, totally, yeah. But I think it's just these young'uns these days, I think some of them just think that they have to be a certain way or they have to act a certain way, and I don't really know where that comes from.
But I mean, we say youngins. I do think, I mean, there's legendary stories about some of, you know, like, and I think it's well publicized about some of the, you know, big stars from Korea and stuff, you know, that were big divas. Look, our industry wouldn't be fun if we did have some of those divas as well, because it's, you need someone at work to kind of hate and slag off, don't you?
Well, I think I always relate, and especially on the soaps, if I'm honest, because it's such a family orientated, people have been there forever. And I relate a lot of the jobs I do to being at school. Like your job as a director, I mean, I've done a little bit directing the last couple of years. I'm actually hoping to get on the director's course at through Emmerdale. But I'll be honest, I only really want to go back so I can boss everybody about.
Although you say that, like the hardest part of directing is because really you are, I suppose you are the boss, but actually I think to be a good director, you're not, it's such a team effort because you can't really, you might have the end say, but I don't think I never felt I did because I'd always want an actor to be happy.
And especially the established ones to then go on and try and tell those people.
It's the most scary thing in my life.
To bring.
I said this on a special edition that Kath did with me interviewing me, but my first day on EastEnders was the night shoot of the Queen Vic fire and the entire cast were there. So it was like, you know, Bianca, Ricky, Pat, Peggy, Phil, Dot, Stacey. And I just, I switch into work mode, but I remember coming home going, Jesus, how did that just happen? And also as a director.
What's just happened, yeah.
You all know this, I suppose, in a way, that, I mean, actually not limited, but, you know, you've got people, there's so many, obviously, it's life. So people are having their own personal issues, which obviously can, and as a director, you're kind of like this headmaster that's between everyone and you know there might be some drama there.
Oh, yeah, you've got to manage everybody as well, aren't you? You know, it's like... And then, to be fair, that's one thing I don't envy about directors, especially, is because people shouldn't be treated individually. But like you say, you know, people have got other life, you know, the real life's going on and you don't know what's going on with them that day, you know.
Yeah, you'll know this as an actor, and this is no disrespect, I suppose, because I'd be exactly the same. But say if you're directing something like a wedding and you've got all the cars there, most of them have got no lines. I mean, it's like being at play school, isn't it? It's so hard to direct because everyone, I'd be the same as having a laugh and you're like, oh my God, this is horrendous.
Yeah. Well, we are all like, I mean, I know just from personal experience, I mean, me and Alicia are grown women and the amount of times people would just look at us like, how old are you two? I mean, I've literally got videos of us dragging each other up and down corridors attached to cushions and...
Oh, but yeah, but you have to because you have time in between scenes. I think that's...
Well, this is it, yeah.
For me, it's the most bizarre job because it's a real balancing act.
Totally agree. I mean, trying to juggle everybody and manage everybody's personalities, these very strong personalities as well. But I'll be honest, hands down, Emmerdale, without question, some of the nicest people I've ever met and ever worked on.
And like you, I mean, you were like someone who, I always say this because I love Shameless. Like when you were coming into it, I was like, oh my God, it's Kelly Hollis. But also like, oh, I always instantly think, oh, is she going to be a nightmare? And I love it that all the people I've thought, the people I've loved growing up with ended up like being friends and so nice, which I love because I always just think that's amazing. And to be so, like, I love what you say about Shameless, you wish you were watching it the other side. Because I think the key in this life is never to get carried away with yourself. Do you know what I mean? When you've got some hit show.
Because I've always lived, well, apart from the last few years, I've always lived in Leeds. In fact, I've always lived in Beeston, which is where I was brought up. So my friends and family would never, ever dare let me get carried away with myself.
No,
so for
that's
instance,
the main thing,
lovely Jeff, one of the drivers, used to come and get me on a morning. It'd be all suited and booted. And my mates would be out in the street and going, I don't want to swear, are you for effing real?
Yeah.
Check you out, were you driving? And that. So it got so bad that all my mates were taking the mick out of me. And that I'd have to ring Jeff and say, please, can you go park at the end of the street?
Right. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I'm not coming out until you move. And please, whatever you do, do not get out of that car.
That's brilliant.
He stood at the side holding door and that. I felt like a right Wally.
That's like the opposite to Hyacinth Bouquet, who used to make anyone with a bad car park down the road. But you saying that, and I won't name who it is, and it's not a bad story, but someone came around here and they had a driver because what their husband did and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, because he just sat outside waiting for it, which obviously if you've got the money would be great. But we ended up giving him cups of tea all night. So we're going to end with, because you are a Yorkshire lass, and you probably won't get these, this is more facts for everyone else. I found these quite interesting. So basically the answers are all Yorkshire. So what's the longest river in Yorkshire?
The River Aire.
Yeah. And it's 88 miles.
Ah, blooming heck, didn't know that.
I know. So there we go. Don't say I don't teach you things on the podcast, Kelly. Who said, I mean, you'll never get this, but I like the quote about this. Who said about Harrogate in 1858, the queerest place with the strangest people in it leading the oddest lives? It's somewhere where lots of the Emmerdale cars live. And it's quite posh.
Hebden Bridge.
Harrogate.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and Charles Dickens said that. I know. The queerest.
Oh, do you know what, Anil? I was going to say Charles Dickens as well. Flipping
I know, sorry, I did two questions in one there, which is silly.
All right.
Do you know which industry created the wealth in the Yorkshire Dales?
I'm going to say the mills.
It's wool. Yeah, wool, yeah.
Well, wool mills, yeah.
Oh, look at you. And which...
to be on the chase, mate.
I know. Which famous cheese is from Yorkshire?
odd. Is it Denbighdale cheese, something?
You know what, there probably is. There's probably a lot. I've got Wensleydale, but there's a lot.
Oh, Nate, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, I wouldn't have got that on the chest. You're all right.
There probably is. No, next. You would have been, they would have been like, now, oh, get off. Well, listen, Kelly, it's been amazing to speak to you. I could speak to you for hours.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been amazing to have you. And we will catch up as soon as lockdown's over and go and do karaoke in Leeds.
Oh, 100%. I'm waiting.
Yes, we're going to do a duet. Love you lots. Speak to you soon.
Oh, thanks, Lee. Thanks so much for having me, love. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Kelly Hollis for being a guest on the podcast. She is a fellow Northern girl, so I'll be catching up with her very soon in a pub garden. Remember, there are two episodes of Soap from the Box every single Sunday this season. The other one this week is with the legend that is Julie Hesman-Haller, who of course played Hayley in Coronation Street, amongst so many other things, including Broadchurch. I chat to her everything about that, so please listen to that after this. Thank you, as usual, to David Stevens and the Bothy for their edit and technical wizardry, and to Ian McCallum for all of his press help. And remember to also check out Great British Radio. You can find my brand new show, The A to Z of Soap, on there every single Saturday at 3 p.m. Plus, highlights of Soap from the Box will be on throughout the week. You can listen online, you can listen on your Alexa, you can download the app, and you can catch up with them on social media at GRBRUK. Right, I need to stop for a glass of water now. Have a great week. See you soon.